Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Monday afternoon, January 27th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Today marks the official start of tax season. We'll get you prepared in our next segment. But right now, fears of a tech stock bubble sparked by Chinese startup DeepSeek's low-cost competitive AI model is weighing on the markets. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Angelo Zeno, Senior Vice President, CFRA Research in New York. Angelo, thank you for joining us today. DeepSeek, it is the Chinese AI model, but this launched in December. So why is this causing this outbreak of fear on Wall Street in late January?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. So to your point, DeepSeek is kind of this, you know, Chinese startup that, you know, basically kind of developed this open source large language models out there that can actually compete just as well with a number of the Western counterparts, specifically OpenAI. So, but you kind of look at what's developed here over the last couple of days or week. DeepSeek essentially released a reasoning model here in recent days that actually reportedly outperformed OpenAI's most advanced models. And that gained a lot of attention out there. What's also gaining a lot of attention with DeepSeek is the fact that the claims that have been put out there recently is that they've been able to kind of, you know, develop this for a price of under $6 million. So you've got the cost side of things, which is very favorable relative to these Western counterparts, and something that's kind of performing in line. And the fact now that it is the most downloaded app on Apple's App Store here over the last couple of days, I think is also kind of generating a lot of intrigue and attention out there from the consumer and now investors as well.
Now, why has this led to, I don't know if you want to call it a rout, but why has led to this severe sell-off, especially in the NASDAQ?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of storylines that you can get from this, but I think the biggest one right now, or something that's gaining a lot of attention, specifically on the NASDAQ and the tech sector, is the fact that we are spending so much, tens of billions of dollars, each of these hyperscalers essentially investing, whether it be Microsoft over $80 billion here over the next year, whether it be on Friday, Meta coming out with a $60 to $65 billion figure for the upcoming year, significantly above our expectations out there. That's getting a lot of attention out there when you look at what the Chinese have been able to do in terms of creating something just as good without kind of the advanced chips that we have access to. And as a result, you're seeing kind of a little bit of a bloodbath here in the NASDAQ on the fear that maybe some of those kind of spending expectations get tempered down, and that kind of, you know, translates to, you know, lower revenue potential for some of the chip makers like the NVIDIAs of the world.
Now, have these claims about DeepSeek, not only its ability to work, but the expense involved in creating it, and the whole debate over whether the chips are necessary, have any of these claims been tested? Is it possible that Wall Street will come back from the brink once it has the opportunity to kick the tires on DeepSeek?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, when you think about it, right, you know, some of the claims out there we think are legitimate. One, I've been able to kind of test it myself, and from just my own personal usage, it's just as good as, you know, of any other platform that I've used over the last, you know, couple of months or what have you. I will say this. I mean, you kind of think about you know, some of the privacy issues that out there that you do need to worry about. The administration is probably going to have to think about that. I mean, you think about DeepSeek here. I mean, I've downloaded that app. I've downloaded another app called RedNote because you can't download TikTok anymore. And those are all based on China-based servers out there. So there's definitely privacy risks that are going to have to be addressed out there. And, you know, I would say the other thing here to actually think about here is, you know, when you think about kind of moving forward in terms of a world where you're talking about AI agents and kind of moving towards more robotics, a physical AI type world, you're going to need to have more compute, more advanced compute out there. And our competitive advantage is our access to these kind of leading edge GPUs and what have you. So I don't know, you know, to the extent that, you know, we completely move away from that is something to even think about. But as we kind of go into 2026, 2027, my guess is, you know, some of these kind of leading edge hyperscalers out there are going to look for ways to be more efficient in nature, but they'll continue to aggressively spend in our view.
Angelo Zeno, Senior Vice President, CFRA Research in New York, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, what you should be doing as the IRS opens its doors for tax season.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Tax season is here, and getting organized early can save you time, stress, and money. Joining us to discuss how it can get started is Elizabeth Bafardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners in Oak Brook. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us today, and those W-2s are starting to show up in the mail, so don't allow them to gather dust until April 1st, I think is the best piece of advice we can pass along to people today.
Yes, exactly. Thank you for having me. Yeah, all the tax forms are about to start to come out. The W-2s are due by January 31st, and then interest and brokerage account papers will start coming in mid-February, so be on the lookout.
And generally, if all of your stuff arrives by February 1st or so, you're probably better off just knocking it out right now. In terms of if you have a refund due, chances are you'll get that refund a lot faster if you're at the front of the line as opposed to the back.
Yes, definitely, definitely. If you're going to get a refund, it's better to file sooner rather than later, because then you'll get the cash in your account much faster. If you owe, then a lot of people usually like to file at the last minute, thinking that they'll have more time to come up with the cash for what they owe.
Now, let's talk about the average taxpayer in terms of how complex that Form 1040 tends to get. Let's say you do have a couple of kids at home. You're saving for college. You own your own home. You have a mortgage, and you have mortgage interest, and you too are saving for your retirement. What are some of the things that you should keep in mind as you take care of your income taxes for the previous year?
So you're going to want to keep in mind the things that you're going to get credits for. So there's a child tax credit that you might be able to use if your children are under 17. If you put money into the Illinois Bright Start 529 plan, you'll get a deduction on your Illinois return for having put that money in. So you're going to want to go back and look that up. The other thing that you might want to look at is, what money did you put into your HSA accounts, if that was something that was outside of what goes in through your employer?
And then when it comes to maybe new deductions and new credits, anything that has cropped up in the last year that people may not know about?
Ooh, that's a good question. The one thing that's coming on the horizon is, there's a form called a 1099-K, and basically if you sell a lot of stuff through eBay and PayPal and that sort of thing, you might end up getting one of those new forms. They lowered the bar for who would get those, so if that's something that you've been doing as a side hustle, you might want to keep that in mind and start keeping really good records about what you've sold and that sort of thing, because that's going to show income on your return.
And then the big one, I think this applies to all all aspects of life, and that is to check your work, make sure the Social Security numbers are correct, and more importantly, if you are owed a refund and you want that thing direct deposited into your bank account, make sure your checking and routing numbers are correct, because I would imagine some people have incorrect, have careless mistakes, and that could cost them.
Exactly, exactly. That's really, really important, because if you mess up on the Social Security, the IRS has very good matching software, which means that whatever 1099s and tax information that companies send to you, they also send that to the IRS. And so once the IRS gets your tax return, they can match all that stuff up. So if you have an incorrect Social Security number or something like that, that's going to mess everything up, and then you'll end up getting notices, which are a pain in the tuchus to have to deal with.
Elizabeth Bifardi, founder of Crescendo Financial Planners in Oak Brook, thank you for joining us today. That's the technical term, by the way. Coming up next, best practices when lending money to members of your family.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Lending money to a family member can be a generous and possibly precarious act. Let's get some advice from Ed Zertzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And when you hear the phrase lend money to a family member, it seems like you could have a whole field of red flags about why that could be a bad idea. So, Ed, let's talk about the promise and the many pitfalls of lending money to a relative.
Yeah, Rob, this is one of the more challenging topics we deal with as financial planners. And I know we have minutes, but this is literally hours of conversation. And so first and foremost, as soon as you have that conversation about lending money to a family member, the first thing that you need to think about is, am I expecting to be repaid or am I not? Is it more of a gift or is it a repayment? And those two elements are very important in terms of the next step and what you do and how you do.
What is the most common situation in which somebody lends money to a relative? Is it helping someone pay for college? Is it helping them deal with a medical emergency? How do people arrive at this juncture?
Well, typically, obviously, there's one party in need and a perceived, you know, element that someone else has money that they can need. So typically, it's because there is either a loss of a job or people are just struggling financially. And often what I tell our clients, and these are generally our retired clients, and typically it's either kids or other family members who are asking money, and these are not kids as in like 20 and 21, but adult kids, is are you supplementing their lifestyle, right, in terms of, you know, maybe they have a little bit of a stretch where there's low money, or are they truly in need? And that's where it is really important, because oftentimes you've got to ask yourself, is this sort of a lifeline or are you creating a hammock? And that is really important, again, in terms of having these really direct conversations with those relatives in terms of where the money's going.
And it seems like if you have that conversation, you can find alternatives, and that lending money to a relative just because of all of the potential negative outcomes really is kind of an in case of emergency break glass situation.
Yeah, and some of our clients who have means and wherewithal, they're actually like the family bank. So they have formal notes in place. They charge interest for these notes, you know, in terms of the IRS acceptable limits, right? That might be lower than that of a credit card or, let's say, a traditional bank. So that's kind of one element. But then the other element, again, like what you just addressed, is as soon as you lend money out to somebody, if you're not very, very clear up front, or again, written documentation and those kind of things, that's where challenges develop, especially if that money is not coming back or the repayments stop. You know, you can really lose relationships over this. So think very long and clearly before trying to come to someone else's rescue.
And then in your experience, what is the most kind of the typical setup in this situation? Is you have one relative who is probably maybe known as the most prosperous one of the family, and that's the one, they're the ones who are getting hit up for money all the time?
Yeah, that's typically it. If there's someone within the family who's perceived to have money, they're going to get hit up in regards to what's going on, like you had mentioned. They're going to get calls. They're going to get emails. Oh, my situation is dire. We need help here and here. Again, it goes back to this. This is why, Rob, it's so challenging, because most of us have that emotional need to help people, right? Oh, I know you're at need, and we need to send money your way. But the other side is this business, or is this family? And that, again, is where the challenge is, because the emotional strings are tugging at our hearts. But then there's the reality again of will we get paid? How will we get paid? And those kind of things. And again, take time, make sure you map out expectations to avoid any kind of unfortunate ending in regards to, you know, feelings being hurt and money's obviously being lost.
Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Palestinians are returning to a war-ravaged landscape in Gaza as the ceasefire continues to hold. The new U.S. Secretary of Defense is on the job. Starbucks going back to its roots in a quest to attract customers. Its Stock Picker Monday will get a couple of investing ideas from a money pro. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is up 87 points. NASDAQ is down 699. And the S&P 500 down 118. Sunny skies right now in Chicago, 35 degrees. Southwest wind 21 miles an hour, gusting to 33. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. Tens of thousands of Palestinians are streaming into the most heavily destroyed areas of Gaza for the first time since the early weeks of the war between Israel and Hamas. It comes with the Middle East ceasefire holding into a second week. Israel has been informed by Hamas that 8 of the 33 hostages set to be freed during the deal's first phase are dead. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is at the Pentagon for his first full work week. The details from CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Hegseth told reporters that there will be more executive orders coming today. They will include, he said, removing DEI programs at the Pentagon, reinstating troops pushed out because of COVID mandates, and an Iron Dome for America. And he spoke of the orders to send troops to the border and assisting with deportations, saying that is something the Defense Department will absolutely continue to do.
Hegseth was sworn in on Saturday after narrowly winning confirmation through a tie-breaking vote by Vice President J.D. Vance. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Stocks are trading. Well, the markets are mixed right now, but the NASDAQ is sharply lower. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Sam, thank you for joining us today. And I guess I am not the first, nor will I be the last person to give you this headline, which is DeepSeek triggers deep dive in NASDAQ. What happened today?
Hey, Rob. Well, DeepSeek ended up deep sixing a lot of the prices.
Well done.
Many of the stocks. Thank you. Many of the stocks in the tech sector, and in particular the semiconductor area, mainly because it puts into question whether the current pace of capital expenditures and technology upgrades is necessary.
Now, is this something that maybe we'll see some equilibrium once again as soon as analysts have the opportunity, to the greatest extent they can, to take a look under the hood of DeepSeek to see if that if the claim of this being the cheaper alternative to generative AI really is stands up to scrutiny?
Yes, I think, you know, they will be peeling back the leaves of this artichoke to get to the heart of the matter and really to decide whether it is such a evolutionary process that they have developed. But at the same time, we don't think it's going to upend all of the stocks in the tech sector. We think it could end up being good for some software and stocks on the cloud side. So there will likely be beneficiaries within tech itself.
Well, what's interesting to note today that while a lot of the companies that do have AI exposure and have put a lot of money into building out AI chips, NVIDIA being at the top of that list, Apple is up almost 4% right now, and they were dinged up until today for being behind the curve on their AI efforts.
That's right. I mean, when you look at the biggest movers in the Dow, Salesforce is up more than 5%, Apple up almost 4%. Not surprisingly, then we've got some of the defensive areas, food, beverage, tobacco companies that are holding up well since they are traditionally safe havens in challenging times.
Now, we do have other news today. This is a big week for corporate earnings. And we also have a Fed meeting on Wednesday. And it seems like the consensus about interest rates in the Wednesday Fed meeting is that they're going to hold.
Exactly. They're not going to raise rates, as some strategists are worried about. But we think that they're basically going to take a wait-and-see stance, reminding us that they are data-dependent. They do see signs of stabilization within the labor market, and inflation should continue to make progress toward the 2% goal, which they'll probably reach sometime in 2026.
And then lastly, just talking about earnings, it seems like earnings season is already running well ahead of expectations, but there's a little bit of gaming those expectations going in.
Absolutely. I like to say that management does an exceptional job of managing expectations because the actual results have exceeded end of quarter estimates in 60 of the last 62 quarters. This time is no different. Expectations are for a rise of 10% versus the 8.5% that was anticipated on December 31st.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist, CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Starbucks looks to recapture some early magic.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Starbucks is going old school, bringing back condiment bars and handwritten cup names, hoping to revive its classic coffee house charm. We welcome in R.J. Hadavi, Head of Analytical research at Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. RJ, thank you for joining us today. And we're going back to the 90s at Starbucks. We want to make everything look like Central Perk on Friends, and they hope that the past is the future.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going that far back, but I think certainly a back-to-basics approach is a smart one for Starbucks. I think over the last couple of years, maybe they've lost the thing that made their brand in the first place, which was that upscale experience, getting to know that barista and that personal attention you got. I also think that this move is also to help simplify the overall business here, too, which may have added several layers of complexity the last couple of years, mobile ordering, new complicated drinks. And I think this really is a way to really simplify the operation, the the overall experience, which I think a lot of consumers are looking for in Starbucks right now.
And this is not, you may call it a cost-cutting move in some respects, but it is not in others. If you want to have your name handwritten on your Starbucks cup, this required Starbucks tracking down 200,000 Sharpie markers to make it happen. So they got to buy the markers, and that is a significant chunk of change.
Yeah, it is. And there will be some investment with this, not only with the markers themselves, but bringing back the milk and sugar bar, bringing back free refills on certain drinks within the restaurant for to go or for take home or for orders at the restaurant. These are all measures that will cost something. But, any part of this turnaround plan was going to require some investment.
16 years ago, an analyst told me that the fiercest battle in the quick service restaurant space, and that at the time it was 2009, will be in breakfast. And it seems like that prediction largely came true because everybody tried to become Starbucks in their own way. McDonald's has its suite of coffees and coffee-related products. Dunkin' Donuts has also built out its coffee selection. And, of course, all sorts of of other places have tried to get in on and occupy that coffee lane that Starbucks had. So outside of just going back to basics and just filling their loyal customers with the warm fuzzies of nostalgia, how does this position them against the competition, which has built up over time?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, because a lot of the competitors you just named are really in it for the convenience side of it. Dunkin' and McDonald's obviously are quick service restaurants. It's in the name of the category here. But a lot of the competition more recently for Starbucks has come from some other drive-thru players, like a Dutch Bros or a 7 Brew Coffee, Scooter's Coffee. These chains have really been where the company's seen a lot of visitation transfer to. So I think by focusing on the experience and beating these companies, I think certainly convenience will be part of the story, but I think really focusing on the experience and doing some of the things that these drive-thru competitors can't do is a really smart move to differentiate themselves from the rest of the category.
And then lastly, when it comes to plotting a way forward, one of the things that Starbucks implemented was the loitering policy. You just couldn't hang out there all day. But how much of Starbucks' business was and currently is derived by being that third space? I mean, maybe you're not getting that cup of coffee on the way to the train because you haven't taken the train in 5 years, but you do pull out the laptop and work from a Starbucks for a couple of hours. How will that impact that side of the business?
Well, roughly a third of the company's visits or transactions are done digitally. So that gives you a pretty good proxy for how many people are just coming in and leaving with it. So you still have about, 70% of visits where people come in and, are still using Starbucks for kind of that third place. So I think that's still a very important part of the overall business that the company needs to focus on, and probably where a lot of the disruptions happen. And frankly, you and I've talked about this in the past, when you're trying to cater both to, a customer that's looking for an upscale experience, but also one that's looking for convenience, you kind of don't do either well. And I think this is kind of their way to differentiate and really focus on the experiential customer that, I think where they probably lost most of those customers in the last couple of years. So getting back to that and really improving that experience, I think, is really paramount to a turnaround here.
RJ Hadavi, head of analytical research at the Los Altos, California-based foot traffic analysis firm Placer AI. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hey, it's Stock Picker Monday, and joining us with a pair of investment ideas is Matt Shapiro, president, MWS Capital in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. Two selections, and let's just say your first selection, you believe, will lead to concrete gains.
Thank you, Rob. Wholesome, which is a Swiss-based company. People don't really know about it too much, but it is the largest cement company in the world and the largest producer of cement in the United States. Now, it will be spinning off its North American business. And, today, of course, we're talking about a lot of technology and artificial intelligence and things like that, very highly valued stocks. But the company is growing very strongly, which is why they're going to spin off their North American operations, and a P.E. ratio of about 15. So well below the market. And, of course, still, there's a lot of infrastructure pipeline in the Inflation Reduction Act that we don't think is going to be altered too much. And, of course, so much momentum for housing rebuilds and, of course, rebuilding Los Angeles. So we think, cement is a great, basic commodity and basic part of investors' portfolio, and especially look out for that spinoff later this year.
And the ticker symbol HCLMF. And your next selection, a household name that we talked about it earlier in the stock market segment, because this is actually well positioned, especially given the AI freakout we were experiencing today.
Apple Computer, which of course household name, we were looking at the stock and it's not our largest growth stock holding, but taking a look and, it's been down over, there's concern about level of smartphone shipments in China for Apple. Of course, their big earnings report with the holiday spending period coming up. And, we tried a little bit more. You can never buy enough. But today it's up really strong. Pretty much on the report by AT&T with really strong subscriber growth. So investors, I think, are looking at kind of stability in Apple compared to artificial intelligence. And also the fact that, maybe the revisions of smartphone sales are too aggressive and there actually be pretty good. So a little bit of stability in a market today.
Now, this could all obviously change tomorrow with a change in perception. But going into today, Apple was kind of seen as the laggard in the AI sweepstakes. Everybody wanted to see, what's your AI product? And Apple always sits back in the tall grass and waits for everyone else to kind of stumble before coming out with the revolutionary product. And that strategy seems to be paying dividends today.
Exactly. Apple, amongst all these large tech companies, has been very disciplined in its spending. And, that is obviously really helping them today. And, they are rolling out AI. It's in your smartphone. You'll see suggestions and things like that. But they're making their own chips, and they're not doing these massive capital expenditure plans like, for instance, Meta is planning to do in Facebook. So, for today, stocks up really strongly, and that's actually helping the Dow quite a bit.
Matt Shapiro, President, MWS Capital in Chicago. Thank you for joining us on this Stock Picker Monday. His selections, Holcim AG, HCLMF is the ticker symbol, and Apple AAPL.